we're studying about marriage and in the relationship of the way a husband and wife ought to treat each other. And we're using as our textbook the treatment of the bride and the bridegroom in the Song of Solomon. Now let me say a word to you about this. I don't want us to joke about the sensuality of the Song of Solomon. Either here or home, anywhere. This book doesn't deserve that kind of treatment. Now, there are some statements in this book that are very tender statements. We may or may not, I'm not going to read every verse in the book, we may or may not read them, I don't know. But we're talking tonight about the most intimate relationship between two human beings, and that's husband and wife. And God knows this nation needs to hear the simple, plain treatment that this bridegroom and bride exhibited to each other, and to emulate that treatment. Open your Bible to the Song of Solomon. I'm going to read the first 8 verses of the 2nd chapter. Now, I'm not going to teach who's talking when. I'm just going to teach you about a husband is talking to a wife is talking to a husband, and I want to show you how they treated each other. I am the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valleys. As the lily among thorns, so is my love among the daughters. As the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. I sat down under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. He brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. Stay me with flagons, if you please. Comfort me with apples, for I am sick of love. His left hand is under my head, his right hand doth embrace me. I charge you, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, by the roads and by the hinds of the field, that ye stir not up nor awake my love till he flees. The voice of my beloved, behold, he cometh leaping upon the mountains, skipping upon the hills. Keep your Bibles open, or he's going to read down through these verses. And in these 8 verses, I'm going to give you 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, about 15 different ways that they treat each other in these 8 verses. Now, this is not as spectacular as a prophecy lesson on when Russia is going to attack Israel and who the Antichrist is. But this is basic. If we don't get our marriages straightened up, our country's gone, just after the gone. And this little story is a wonderful, wonderful example of the way that a husband should treat a wife and a wife should treat a husband. Father, bless our study to the enrichment, salvation of our homes, yea, our marriages. In Jesus' name, amen. Our Heavenly Father, bless us now as we enter this study. Sanctify the next, every 40 minutes. Please. Amen. Are you too warm tonight? How many are too warm? Let's make it a bit, just about 2 degrees cooler, Brother Randy. Let me preface this by saying I've been looking around tonight in this auditorium. I counted 13 couples with marriages on the rocks and may have been spared and saved in my office. I counted others who may have been, divorce may have come to wreck your marriage. But it seems to me that if I could talk to you several thousand at a time, it would be a lot better than talking to you just one couple at a time. Don't misunderstand me. I was talking to Miss House the other day about a certain couple, and I said, I don't think I've seen a couple And by the way, I don't go home and tell her about my counseling. But if it's a great victory, I may brag on a couple. And I said, well, I've seen a couple whose marriage was gone. And I probably had 15 different counseling sessions with them. And now they're just doing wonderfully well, and I'm so proud of them. Now, that's a great, great reward for me. But a greater reward would be for me to talk to you with several thousand of us together and prevent you having to come to my office for marital counseling. I am talking to you not about the philosophy of marriage. I'm talking to you about the treatment of a woman to a man and a man to a woman. Before I go into chapter 2, I'm going to pick out a few fragments of chapter 1. We discussed much of chapter 1 last week. The first thing I want you to notice is in chapter 1 in verse number 8. Look at it. If thou know not, O thou fairest among women, let's stop right there. This man said to his wife, you are the fairest among women. What does that mean? That means that to him, she was the most beautiful woman in the world. Now, who is the most beautiful woman in the world? Your wife, if you love her. Most beautiful woman in the world. Now, the first thing I want to say is, tell that woman how pretty she is. Women, you keep him from lying. I'll never understand why a woman will be trim and pretty till she gets him and then double after she gets him. Now, I'm not being critical about it. I'm being honest with you. I'm being real honest with you. Ladies, you ought to be pretty. Now, you sympathize. I'm 55 years old. I can't be pretty. I'm married to a woman 67 years old who's very pretty. You know why? I guess you fellows are a little afraid to say amen, but if you did, you'd have a broken rib before you got home tonight. But no, some of the most beautiful women that I know, of course I never noticed any, but Brother Young tells me, I'm trying to say, ladies, you stay attractive to your husband. Now then, this fellow said, O thou fairest among women. What he was saying was, you are the prettiest thing in the whole world. Tell her. Tell her. Now I want you to look down to verse number, let me go a step further here. In the next few verses, we also have the lady telling the husband how good-looking he is, how handsome he is. We say, my husband isn't handsome. You're the one that married him, baby. I mean, you thought he was at one time, unless he was the last thing you could get. And I had a couple in my office one time, and they were talking about, they said, so-and-so's an old maid. Said, she just hadn't been an old maid. I said, she could have married too if she'd have settled for what you settled for. Now, I want to say this. Men, now, let's face it. As you grow older, it's not as easy. But men, you do what you can to stay as attractive as you can for that woman. And woman, you tell him that he is. See, he said, O thou fairest among women. Now, you do likewise. And ladies, you be sure that you retain your attractiveness. Now then, look at verse number 11. We will make thee borders of gold with studs of silver. And I want to just say what I think that means, and I can't prove that. I think it's talking about the garments that she wears. Whether that's what it means or not, I'm going to say this. And that is, you dress attractively. I'm talking about a home. It's a tragedy that a man comes home and finds an uglier woman than he found at work. a woman not dressed as nicely as the woman was at work. Now, ladies, you dress attractively and femininely for your husband. I'm not down to the main study yet. I'm just giving a few little fragments from chapter 1. Look down at verse 12. While the king sitteth at his table, my spikenard sendeth forth the smell thereof. What does that mean? That means little perfume is not wrong. After you bathe, not in the place of a bath. Dr. James McGinley was one of the funniest old preachers you ever saw in your life, a Scottish preacher. He was out soul winning with me in Texas one day, and Dr. McGinley wore a lot of cologne. He just took two tablespoonfuls after every meal. And so this very bold lady looked at him, and she said, "Phew, I see you wear perfume." Old Dr. McGinley said, "Phew, I see you don't." Now, fellas, you find out what perfume she likes best, and you keep her supplied with it. I mean that the wife ought not to ever have to buy her own perfume. You find out what she likes, and I don't mean buy what you like, woman. You find out what he likes and tell him that's what you like. And then, fella, you keep her supplied with perfume. Now, I want to say this. I'm a fundamentalist, but I don't see anything wrong with putting a little perfume on the back of your, wherever you put it, back of your ear, back of your head, on your eyebrow. I don't care where you put it. But that's what she did. It says here, and this book is so practical. It says, while the king sitteth at his table, my spikenard sendeth forth the smell thereof. Now, I want to look down to verse number 16, and this is a very touchy verse. I want to say about it, and it's very important. Behold, thou art fair, my beloved, ye pleasant. Also, our bed is green. Now, look at me carefully, don't you think it? To have a happy marriage, you need to have an attractive bedroom. Most beautiful room in your house ought to be your bedroom. That's all I'm going to say. Now, down to verse number 17. The beams of our house are cedar, and the rafters are fir. Next thing I want to say is that they're talking about their house. They had a nice, attractive house as best they could. Ladies, if you have to work for a living in public, then it's up to your husband to help you do the responsibilities that you would have. These guys, I've said this before, but these guys, the wives work all day and come home and work at night while you watch the television set or read the newspaper, you're a punk. You're a bum. If she has to help you make the living, you're supposed to help her keep the house and cook the meals. But if you are fortunate enough, lady, and by the way, if you're one of these, you are very, very fortunate. If you're fortunate enough to get home and rear the children, then you keep a clean house. You understand? I said you keep a clean house. I could call five names off just like that right now. Five names of people I'm counseling with right now on the verge of divorce. And the main cause is the wife does not keep the house tidy, and the husband comes in, the house is a mess, dishes in the, you'd be amazed, dishes in the breakfast dishes and sink when he comes in at night. Now that's a disgrace. I'm saying you keep a nice, clean, tidy house. Now then to our study for tonight, verse number 1 of chapter 2. I love this. I am the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valley. Look at me. I am the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valley. Now, two statements. One is, make her feel that she is important and pretty. See, it says, I am. That means somebody told her or him that they were attractive. So, make her feel pretty and attractive. Now, I want to say this. I mean it. I've never seen a woman that I didn't think was attractive. I mean that. Now, I've seen some that are very close to the borderline. Well, that old story about the pastor and his sister. Pastor came over to eat at this house, and This little bitty old girl about that high was ugly as a mud fence. I mean, she invented ugly. And they start to leave. And the pastor said to the assistant pastor, he said, you know, she's not very P-R-E-P-T-Y, is she? The little girl said, no, but I'm pretty S-M-A-R-T. Now, you make that woman in your house feel that she is important. She said, I am the rose of Sharon. Who told her that? He told her that. Or if he's talking, she told him that. And that means that you, and I want to go a step further in a few minutes, but that means that you tell her she's pretty. If she's not, cross your fingers while you tell her. I'm saying go tell her that she's pretty. Now you married the woman, tell her she's pretty and make her feel how important she is. Likewise, same thing for the woman. Convince the man that you think that he's good looking and he can say, I am the rose of Sharon. Now in verse number 2, I love this verse. As the lily among thorns, so is my love among the daughters. Look at me. As lily among thorns. Who's the lily here? His wife. You got it? Anybody home? Who are the thorns? Every other woman in the world. You get it? Yeah. Said, as the lily among thorns, so is my love among the daughters. This guy said, every other woman's like a thorn compared to my rose. That's what he said. Now, you guys are always bragging on how pretty some other woman is. Or to leave you ahead for examination at the Smithsonian Institute. You're crazy. Man, tell your wife how ugly every other woman is. You guys that are in the choir tonight, look out all these women and go home and tell your wife, boy, that's the ugliest bunch of women I ever saw in my life. Just a bunch of thorns. Now, I'm saying that your wife ought to feel that you don't think anybody else in the world is pretty buried. I mean that. That's what it says, isn't it? I mean, it says, as the lily among thorns, so is my love among the daughters. Said that compared to my wife, she is a lily, and every other female is a thorn. Look at verse number 3. As the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. Now look at me. She said, the other men are just like these old shrubs. My husband is like the apple tree. Here's a beautiful, fruitful apple tree among a bunch of non-fruit-bearing trees. And he said, every other woman is like a thorn, and my wife is like a lily. And she said, every other man is like a shrub tree, and my husband is like an apple tree. Ladies, don't you go around telling your husband what a good looking man. Oh, did you say good looking man? No, just shut up. Your husband ought to feel like he's the best looking man in the world, and not only that, he ought to feel like that you have, let me say it again, you have eyes for no one else but him. You go out to the airport sometime or anywhere in public and you watch the men stare up and down the women. Now, if I'm at the airport, I won't look at a woman. I open my Bible right there. There it is. When you're on the ocean, why look at a pond? When you're on the lily, why look at the thorns? When you're on the apple tree, why look at the shrubs? Now, I'm trying to say that this whole country is built, if I can't find the Song of Solomon, all these outlines here now, it's somewhere in this book. This old country is built on trying to get every man look at every naked, half-naked female he can. I want to tell you a statement that I don't like.
Fella says,
and I've known fellas say this, they wise. You know, honey, it's hard for me to keep my mind clean with all these half-naked women running around. Now you need to get on your knees and pray a little bit. You need to look at your wife a little bit more. I'm saying you don't have to have an eye for every woman, and you don't have to stare up and down every woman that you see that might be attractive. Donnie, simple truth is, I mean this now, and I'm not lying to you. I've been pastor for almost a half century. I've never looked at a member of my church with anything but a holy look. Now, you don't have to. Well, you say, I'm a red-blooded man. Then quit looking. So, he said, he made her feel like she was a lily, and every other woman was thought, that was her standing. I thank God for women in the church, and I think there's some lovely women in this church. But they should not be objects of anything other than a holy look. Like you look at a pretty flower, or a pretty painting, or something. But your wife ought to be, to you, the most beautiful thing in the whole world, and you get right with God, and she will be. And she ought to be convinced that when you're out with her or out without her, that you're not examining every female that you see, or any female that you see. He said, these other gals are like thorns compared to you, and you like a lily. She said, I know. She said, these other fellows are like shrubs compared to you, and you're like the apple tree. Now then, look at verse 3 again, please. As the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. I love this. I sat down under his shadow. There's my shadow right there. If my wife sits down to my shadow, she sure is going to have to snuggle up close to me. So, what does it say? I have to sit close to each other. She sat down under my shadow. When you sit down, your shadow's not very big either. She sat down under my shadow. I'm saying, women, now I don't want you to come to church in neck and tip. I don't want you putting your head over on his shoulder, but when you get to church, if you're married to him, sit as close to him as you can. You get in the car, if there's room in the, if the car is built, well, you can get over there close to him, get over there. I'm saying, we try to, as pastor, I try to keep you apart before you marry and try to get you together after you marry. It's a shame. I was driving home one night late. His house had already gone home in her car, and I was counseling. I was going down Calumet Street, and there's a couple of lovebirds in front of me. They're weaving like that. He didn't know whether he was on the road or street or what. He just like that. She had her head on his shoulder and his head over there leaning against her head. I thought how sickening that is. I tried to pass him about that time, and he didn't know where he was going. You know, like the guy said, the gal said to her husband, said, honey, you use both hands. He said, I can't. I got to drive with one. And this couple was driving down the street, and he was using both hands, I'll tell you for sure. And neither one of them was on the steering wheel. I followed that couple all the way from Highland Street all the way out to Munster, only to find out it was Johnny and Lane Colton. Now, that's the way it ought to be. I said, that's the way it ought to be. Set close to each other. Look, boy, I saw couples moving over just right now. All right. It says in verse number 3, as the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. I sat down under his shadow, I get this, with great delight. What does that mean? Let him know you like it. She said, I sat down. And by the way, she let everybody else know. She's talking here to the daughters of Jerusalem too. And she's letting everybody know she likes to sit close to him. Did you know your husband might want to know sometimes if you're enjoying being close to him? You say, hey, big boy, you turn me on. Nothing wrong with that. I mean, sit close to him and tell him you enjoy it, and then tell other people you enjoy being close to your husband. All right. Let him know you like it. Look at verse 3 again. As the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. I sat down under his shadow, that's close to him, with great delight. I enjoyed it. And his fruit was sweet to my taste. Now, what's that fruit all about? Well, this part of the Bible is inspired by the same Holy Spirit the rest of the Bible is inspired by. So it is talking about the fruit of the Spirit. And if it's not talking about the fruit of the Spirit, it certainly is not doing any justice to the Scripture. Now, what is the fruit of the Spirit? It says here, his fruit was sweet to my taste. You want to be sweet to her taste? If you start living around her in the fruit of the Spirit. What is the fruit of the Spirit? Love. His love was sweet to my taste. What is the fruit of the Spirit? Joy. His joy was sweet to my taste. What was the fruit of the Spirit? Peace. His peace was sweet to my taste. Long suffering. His patience was sweet to my taste. Gentleness. His gentleness was sweet to my taste. Now, I want to say this. Every man in this room ought to open the car door for his wife. When folks are looking. This is too shallow for some of you deep dodos. A lot of you folks remind me of the scripture of Bob Grady in his last night. Said, you look like sons of Dodo in the Bible. Dodo Jr. I want to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. This country needs what I'm teaching right now more than this country needs to know who the Antichrist is, when the tribulation period is. This country needs a bunch of men who are gentlemen again and don't carry a stick around trying to beat their wives and a big male chauvinist pig. I'm talking about gentle men, kind men, loving men, good men, peaceful men, and women who love them and obey them. So, and she said, I enjoy his fruit. What fruit? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, temperance. That's what I enjoy. Look at verse number 4. He brought me to the banqueting house. Took her out to eat. It's amazing. You know, the Bible, the most important thing about the Bible is what it says. I know theologians, so-called, self-styled, who will take that verse and exegete it. Well, that's talking about the marriage of the Lamb. And it's talking about the day when our great Savior as the bridegroom will take us to the marriage of the Lamb. Well, that's okay, but that's not going to do you any good now. Well, that's talking about the wedding feast. You wait for the wedding feast, you'll starve to death between now and then. This verse teaches that this guy took his wife out to eat. That's what it teaches. What does it mean? Have a date with her. That's what it means. Have dates. Every man ought to have a date with his wife every week. By the way, let me teach you a word. Two words. Babysitters. Babysitters. Well, I just want to take my children along. Leave them home. Go out. You can't smooch with your husband while your kid's in the back seat. You can't change your diaper and Gucci goo.
Or you say, I'm too old to gooch a goo. No, you're not. You're too dead to gooch a goo.
I was preaching like this one night, and I said, you lost your first love. One gal hollered out and said, my husband lost his first team. And you've lost your sweetness and gentleness and kindness and goodness. Take her out to eat. I don't mean the McDonald's drive through. This is Miles and I enjoy doing something like this. We go to Burger King. Now, I'm serious now. And we'll drive through and we'll get two junior whoppers minus mayonnaise plus mustard and something to drink. But we don't sit there at Burger King media. We'll drive down to a lake and sit beside that lake and let that food get cold. Now, but it says, he brought me to the banqueting house. And I like this last part. And his banner over me is love. His banner was love. His banner over me was love. What's she saying? What's she saying? Everybody in that restaurant can tell you love me. What's she saying? Everybody in that restaurant, his banner, he took me to the banqueting house and he wrote on a big old banner, I love her. Now, I'm not saying you ought to do that, but I'm saying everybody where you go ought to know that you love her. And you, on your date, it ought to be obvious that you love each other. And you express you love each other. And she knows you love each other. And you make it public. So let her know that you love her. Now, look at it again. He brought me to the banqueting house. And his banner over me was love. Look. She's telling what happened last night. She said, my husband took me out to eat, and everybody there could tell he loved me. That's what she's saying. She's telling about it. Now, I do not believe for a single moment that any woman ought to ever tell anybody about the intimacies of her marriage. But I think you ought to let everybody know. If your husband loves you and tells you and treats you like that, I think you ought to let folks know your husband loves you and tells you and treats you like that. She said, guess what happened last night? He took me out to eat, and it was obvious to everybody there that he loved me. And I'm not talking just about smooching, though that's a part of it. I'm not saying you ought to go to a restaurant and stick your head across the deal. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying there is a way that you can look at each other and talk to each other so that the people can say they love each other. You know, like, see, we took this cruise up to Alaska. And it two or three good things about the cruise. In the first place, it was that's cool weather up there. And hardly anybody had on shorts. You saw less flesh than you'd see walking down the street. Secondly, most of the couples were middle-aged or older. I like to see some couple old, very old, like 70 and 67. I like to see some real old couple walking down there holding hands, going to eat. I like to see them taking a walk at night out on the deck of the ship, maybe his arms around her. And they don't know anybody's looking, her arms around him. His banner over me was love. Well, you said we don't like to show off. You don't have to show off. If you're happy, he loves you. Tell somebody, he loves me. And fellas, it ought to be obvious in public. Now, again, I'm not talking about being disgusting and doing romantic things that are left to do at home. I'm talking about there ought to be a certain manner, the way you look at her, the way you talk to her, to where she knows you love her, and she's excited, and she tells you she knows you love her, and she tells others that he loves me. Look at verse 5. Stay me with flagons. Comfort me with apples. Now, what does that mean? A flagon in the Bible was something that contained something precious. When you close the little thing, you put perfume in.
Bottles.
What do you call it?
Yeah, atomizers, yeah.
What she's saying is, he brings me gifts.
Sometimes it's fruit. Sometimes it's some little special gift in a nice container. That's what she's saying. Now listen to me, fellas. You bring her gifts.
For her birthday, buy her a rotten meal.
Or a season ticket to the football game. Things that women like.
That's the question.
How long has it been since you, no special day, not Valentine, not a birthday, not Christmas, not an anniversary, for no reason at all,
he brought a gift home to your wife?
How long has it been, Brother Roy, since you went to the cemetery?
You folks that are new here, you got to know this.
What anniversary was it?
No, it was anniversary. You know it was.
Joy and Roro were having a anniversary. And Roy had his son with him. Son? With him. And it was dark. He'd forgotten the anniversary. Oh, my soul, he said. It's our anniversary. I've forgotten our anniversary. I've got to get her something. Everything was closed. All of the stores were closed. The florist was closed. He couldn't buy her flowers. He drove by a cemetery. Looked over, and there was a whole grave full of fresh flowers. Obviously, had a funeral just a while ago. Roy goes over, gets the prettiest bouquet he can get off the grave, steals the crazy thing, takes it to JoJo. She looks at it and says, "Oh, Roy, how thoughtful. How beautiful. Oh, Roy, what a beautiful bouquet." He says, "Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you." Said, "Roy, where did you get that bouquet?" His little boy said, "Out where the dead people live." I have it on a pretty good authority that JoJo did not speak to him for a week. And if she had divorced him, I'd testify in court for her. How long has it been since you brought your wife a little gift? No special day. And by the way, it doesn't have to be a 2-carat diamond ring every other week.
Just some little something. I keep my eyes open everywhere I go, just in case I see something that this house might like a carton of Reese's peanut butter cups. But, I'm in the Pittsburgh airport. I see some pretty earrings. If I can, I'll buy them, bring them home. I'm not a good example of this, but this woman said, "He brings me gifts. He brings me gifts." All right. Look at verse number 5 again. "Stay me with flagons. Comfort me with apples." I love this. "For I'm sick of love." She's not talking to him now. She's talking to some gals, and she says, "I am lovesick." Tell other people that you love the guy. Let them know, and let him know also. But I am sick of love, or I am lovesick. I wanted to get to verse number 6 because I like this one. "His left hand is under my head, and his right hand doth embrace me." Now, in the Greek, that means hug and kiss. Now, I'll tell what you do. I'm not going to embarrass this house, but you take your wife, go home, and just put your left hand under her head. Now just put her head there in your left hand, and then embrace her with your right hand. And you're going to find your lips are not very far apart.
Did you know that smooching is fun?
Three of you know that smooching is fun. So the next thing I say, hug and kiss him, and hug and kiss her.
I'm talking about smooching. I'm not talking about that. No, no.
Yeah.
Don't kiss your wife like you kiss your mother-in-law. I promise you this. Let me just read to you what I've given you so far tonight. Tell her how pretty she is. Tell him how handsome he is. Dress attractively.
Use perfume and cologne.
Have an attractive bedroom. Have a nice, clean house. Make her feel important that she's the prettiest thing in all the world. Make him feel important and handsome. Make her feel as though others are thorns in comparison to her. Make him feel that others are shrubs compared to an apple tree as far as compared to him. Sit close to each other. Let him know that you like it when he sits close to you. Enjoy his fruit, and fellows, that means love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and goodness and kindness and meekness and temperance. And I miss faith, of course. Have dates every week. Use babysitters. Tell others what he did. Let it be known that you love her. His banner over me is love. Let others know that he loves you and that he showed you he loved you. And tell others about the expressions of his love. Give her gifts. Tell others of your love for him. And hug and kiss. Now look at me. That'll solve your marriage problems. See, what you want to do is read somebody's book on the philosophy of marriage. You don't need a philosophy of marriage. You need the Gucci goo of marriage. I got a book in the mail today. A fellow sent me a book he had written, some new evangelical. Well, the poor fellow hadn't got enough sense to write a book. Now listen to me. I believe in being spiritual. But there are things you're supposed to do, you new next to the next Billy Sundays. There are things you're supposed to do besides pray together. Said they that pray together stay together. Now, if that's all you do, you ain't gonna stay together. You see, you're not very spiritual. You're about smart. I'm SMART. And you're STUPID. I love verse 7. Look at it. So beautiful. I charge you, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, by the rose and by the hinds of the field, that ye stir not up nor awake my love until he please. She protected him. She said, he's getting his nap now. Don't wake him up. Hear me carefully. Phone rings. Ms. Hiles answers the phone. Maybe I'm in a chair reading the paper, or maybe I'm nodding a little bit. And she says, could you call him back? This gal said, don't wake him up. He wants to wake up. She protected him. And told him not to wake him up. The last thing I want to talk about is in verse number 8. The voice of my beloved, behold, he cometh leaping upon the mountains and skipping upon the hills. She's saying, I love to talk to my beloved. I love his voice. It's exciting when he comes to talk to me. It's like skipping on the hills or dancing on the mountains. I love to talk to my beloved. Now you listen to me. You learn to communicate with each other. Talk to each other. Learn his interest and you learn her interest and you talk to each other. Communication. One of the most important things in marriage is communication. That means that you ought to not be just a dumb brunette, dumb blonde, dumb redhead. You ought to have some intelligence. You ought to read the paper. Read the Bible. Have some activities you can talk about and learn to communicate and talk with each other. Now, I'm going to just read you again the things. You don't realize all we said tonight until I
read the list to you. Tell her how pretty she is. Tell him how handsome he is. Make her think she's the prettiest woman in the whole world. Make him think he's the most fairest among women, as you please. Smell good. Good odor. Perfume. Cologne. Have an attractive bedroom. Have a nice, clean house. Make her feel important and pretty. Make him feel important and handsome. Make her feel as though others are thorns compared to her as far as beauty is concerned. Make him feel that others are shrubs in the field compared to handsomeness as far as he's concerned. Sit close to each other. Let him know you like it when he sits close to you. Enjoy him. Enjoy his fruit, and that means you're supposed to give her the fruit of the Spirit, love and joy and peace, long-suffering and gentleness and kindness and goodness and all of the things that are fruit of the Spirit. Have dates every week. Now, I'm talking about regular dates. I'm talking about same time, same day, every week. Have regular dates. Now, wives, look at me. When he says, it's time to have a date, we're going to do so-and-so, don't you say, oh, I don't like to go there. I hope bed bugs will find a way to get to your armpits. Look, did you know a date is not for y'all to enjoy something together? A date is for you to enjoy each other. I tell couples, if you don't have money to go out to eat, go down to the store and buy 2 pieces of bologna and 4 pieces of bread. Get 2 glasses of water. Go down to the park and have a picnic. It doesn't matter. I'm saying have dates with each other. Tell others he loves you. Let it be known that you love her. Let people be obvious to people that you love her. Tell others that he loves you. Give her gifts. Tell others of your love for him. Hug and kiss. Protect him and communicate. I'm not going to go into this on this house and have to worry about this at all right now. We had our 50th wedding anniversary trip to Hawaii with the Maui. And we didn't know anybody was watching us. Good night. People married 50 years. We didn't know anybody was watching us at all. We were there for 9-10 days. Went to check out. His house upstairs packing, and I went down to pay the bill. Every single lady at the registration desk gathered around me. I wasn't surprised. Women do that all the time, everywhere I go. Sometimes I wish I weren't so cute. But I'll guarantee you there were 9 or 10 of them in that big hotel with hundreds of rooms. They gathered around me as I checked out. And they said, Mr. Hiles, you and your wife are different. 3 different people, including the pilot on the airplane, asked us if we were on a honeymoon. With hair this color? Some of our teenagers came by one day in the office door. One of them said, what color was your hair? Yeah. Yeah. 3 different people asked us if we were on a honeymoon. Now, they know we're not 18 years old. We'll get past for 25, but not 18. Wait a minute. They said, these ladies gathered around us, me, and they said, Mr. Hiles, you're all different. Your wife wears the prettiest skirts. And we understand that this is your 50th anniversary trip. They said, we're amazed. Said, everywhere you've been around here, you've been holding hands. Now, we didn't say, they're looking. Let's hold hands. They're not looking. We didn't say that. My banner over her was love. Now, ladies and gentlemen, it's time that we had a revival of the proper treatment of a husband for a wife and a wife for a husband. I'm not setting myself up as an example at all. I'm setting this couple right here up as an example. I've taken 8 verses tonight and maybe 2 parts of 2 others and given you over 20 things that if you'd do them, it'd transform your marriage and your home. One thing that you ought to do too is you ought to go to a church that has a business meeting.